Good evening, everyone. I'm Cornelius Williams, and tonight's subject is going to be on forgiveness. I will touch on a few scriptures. I used some of the notes from Grace Notes, and I will say if you're looking into Grace Notes, there's some good information, long information as well. Knowledgeable information when it comes to forgiveness. So without further ado, scripture reading will come from Colossians, and I'm going to use the scripture that Pastor Bob gave me when he was up here giving his sermon on Philippians. Scripture reading will come from Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. And what I'm going to do, I am going to elaborate on other scriptures that led me to particular words in forgiveness. So, without further ado, it reads as follow: forbearing one another and forgiving. That's the key word. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The key word that we're working on tonight is forgiving. And before we go any further, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace tonight to ask you for all your blessings, that the words that come out of my mouth, O Heavenly Father, that they may not be my words, that they may be your holy and righteous word, dear Lord. Let your word not come back void, which it will not. Let me be Christ-like in everything what I say. And help me, O Heavenly Father, to articulate it in the way that you want it to be presented. In Christ's name, Jesus, amen. Like I was saying, the topic tonight is forgiveness. I will be going to different verses in the New Testament and the Old Testament. But we must understand that forgiveness plays two roles when it comes to human and divine relationship with God. I'm going to try to separate them, but I will go ahead and try to illustrate one right now. Number one, human relationship, human forgiveness. You can't have unforgiving hearts and have a relationship with God. You cannot. Divine forgiveness, it comes from God. And only God can forgive sins. So before I go any further, this is the first thing that I was going to say. If you have never had anyone to offend you, abuse you, sin on you, talk derogatory to you, and you felt offended, you didn't feel offended, you can leave. You can leave now. So I guess everyone has been offended. I guess one time you had a forgiving heart. I guess at some time you found something in you to forgive them. But how do we do that? How can we as a human, how can we forgive someone that has sinned against us? The human aspect is, I want to fight back. I want revenge. I want to knock this person out. But the Christ-like in me says no. Christ's laws of forgiveness is taught in the Gospels. Christ's law of forgiveness is taught in the Gospels. Forgiving a person is hard to do in a human aspect, human form. But it was easy for God to forgive us all. So should we be like God in Christ, Christ Jesus? Yes, we should. Because number one, forgiveness is a grace word. Forgiveness is love as well. Forgiveness is mercy, showing mercy. Forgiveness is pardon. The Greek word that we will study tonight, one of the Greek words, and we're going to go to the Old Testament first. One of the Greek words is going to be nasa, N-A-S-A. Hebrew word in the Strong's book, 5375, which means to bear, carry, lift up, forgive. To bear, carry, lift up, and forgive. Now, in Exodus 34 and 7, if you would take your Bible there, we'll start off in the Hebrew portion of it first. And we have talked about this. Pastor Bob talked about this last Sunday night. I don't know if he was here, but he mentioned it. And it reads as follows. Keeping mercy for 1,000, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children's children, upon the third and fourth generation. I'm going to break that down for you. Because when I looked at that, I'm saying, man, oh, wait a minute. If I'm guilty, how can God forgive me? If I'm guilty, how can God forgive me? David is a prime example. David was guilty, but God forgave him because of David's heart. He had a love for God. And God knew it. He said David was a man after his own heart. And when he sinned, Nathan had to come and tell him a story about the sheep. Had to come and tell him a story to bring him back around to make him realize, okay, hey, I have sinned against the Almighty God. We're talking about divine sin now. And only God can forgive sin. But God did not let David go unpunished. Believe me, he didn't. God's judgment is still there. And it was upon his children, his children's children, and things of that nature. But David was like, David was like a praying saint. I don't want to use the other word. He was like a praying saint. because he knew that he could. He knew how to talk to God. He knew how to get on his knees and fast and pray for days without eating. You remember the first child? Bathsheba, the first child? David prayed a long time for that child. He fasted. He didn't eat. But God took the child anyway. So he got up and he ate. But God forgave him. Because God had a mission for him. God had a mission for him. Just like he had for you and I. He has a mission for you. Only thing we need to do is once we recognize our sins, we confess our sins to God. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and stuff like that. I'm not saying that, you know, that judgment won't come. It will come. But one thing about it, God is gracious. His grace is sufficient because strength is made perfect in weakness. God is sufficient. Nesse, to bear, to carry, to lift up. I would like to go a little bit further with Exodus 34:34-7, forgiving. Because I searched the scriptures and I was trying to find out, Lord, how can you forgive us and then punish us at the same time? Because he loves us. He chastises every son that he loves and scourges every one that he receives. He loves us. He loves us so dearly. And we don't know. We have no earthly idea. We think Jesus going on the cross is just a cliche. And we take for granted the gift, the grace gift, undeserving, unmerited. We take for granted the gift that God has given us. Putting salvation on the plate. Putting salvation on the cross. And at the same time, he forgive us. Because he loves us. He knows what he's doing. It's not for us to say if he's right or wrong. Because scriptures say, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We don't understand, but he is incomprehensible. God, you will never know him. You will never know why things happen. Only thing he asks us to do is just pray. Just pray. And then later on, maybe it will be revealed to you. Maybe our prayers will help someone come to God. Regardless of what we do, we should pray for each and every person in the world. Pray for others. That's what it says. Forgive others. That's what we're supposed to do. Forgive them, regardless of what they have done to you, what they have said to you, because you're the only one holding on to the grief of unforgiveness. Because if you're Christ-like, you'll forgive. Your forgiveness will be an everlasting love. First thing you have to do is put love in your heart, and you should be able to forgive. Let me get off my horse. Forgiveness. The definition of forgiveness is ceasing to feel resentment for wrong and offensive. Pardoning, involving restoration of broken relationship. So if I pardon you, that means that I'm trying to gain a relationship with you again, just like we're supposed to be, just like we are with God, just the same way God is trying to do with us. He pardoned us. So he's trying to gain that relationship back with us as human. But he knows it's hard for us at times. He knows it's hard for us to forgive and things of that nature. But the only thing he says, come to me and he'll give you the strength Pray to him. Pray, and he'll give you the strength to forgive. Don't linger on something that happened to you 20 years ago. Don't linger on a will not being corrected. You didn't get what you deserve out of the will. Don't linger on you didn't get the house. Don't linger on your mother did your sister better than she did you. Don't linger on your dad gave the car to your brother and decided that he wanted you to walk home. Don't hold that against them. Forgive them. There might be something behind that. It's teaching you. Because number one, if you're harping on materialistic things, when we are supposed to be storing up our treasures in heaven, then what good is it? What good is it if a man loses his soul and gains the whole world? What good is it? Why are you holding unforgiveness? Forgive. Let it go. Cease. Stop. Pardon. Stop judging. Forgive. Now, the primarily forgiveness is an act of God releasing sinners from judgment and freeing them from the divine penalty of their sin. Freeing them from the divine penalty of their sin. That's what God is doing. He's releasing us. He even forgave you, so hey, the only thing we got to do is ask him. We sin every day, to be honest with you. In our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. We sin. But when we go to bed at night or when we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, please help me. Forgive me of all the things that I have done against you. Do we pray about it? Some do, some don't. Some people are holy prayer. I mean, you know, they just pray just to pray. Saying, thank you, Lord. That's all you got to say. Thank you, Lord. That's all. You're worshiping. You have a relationship with him. You have fellowship with him. Since only God is holy and only God can forgive sin, let's look at Mark 2 and 7. Let's see if that's true. Mark 2, chapter 7. Let's see if it's true. And if someone get that before me. Are you there? Okay, Mark 2, chapter 7. This particular, Mark 2, it talks about Jesus forgiving and healing the paralyzed individual. But we're going to read verse 7. And it reads as follows. Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sin but God only? You know the story. This is when Jesus had healed the paralyzed man, right? He had healed him. He got a double dose of healing. His sins was forgiven, and he was healed. So the point of it is, Jesus, while he was here on this earth, he had the authority to forgive sin as well. Plus, he was healing. And the paralyzed man got a double dose of healing and forgiveness of sin. Here's another one. next one is Luke 5 and 21. Luke 5 and 21, it reads as follows. Here's the Pharisees again. Same thing. Same thing. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this speaking blasphemy? Who forgives sins but God only? Jesus had the authority to forgive sins. And only God has the power to forgive sins as well. He's in heaven. If God can forgive your sins, then you should be able to forgive others for what they have done to you. Moving on. Forgiveness is also a human act towards one neighbor, given new incentive and emphasis in the New Testament. Because of God's forgiveness in death of Christ, that should be the main focus right there. If God forgave your sin through the blood of Christ, did he come here sacrificing for nothing? Did he lose his life for nothing? Because you have an unforgiving spirit, you have an unforgiving heart? No. Grace, forgive. In Exodus 34 and 7, I'm not going back there, but I'm going to show you what prayer can do for someone that prays for you. In Exodus 37, Moses appealed to God. In Exodus 34, Moses appealed to God for forgiveness in a regular feature of intercessory prayer. The first Pentecost usage of Salach, C-A-L-A-C-H, Hebrew word, forgive, pardon. It is Strong's Concordian, Hebrews 55 and 45. God was beginning to, he was ready to, throw the gauntlet down on the Israelites. In Moses' intercession, his prayers for the sinful behavior of the Israelite, Moses based his appeal for forgiveness on the creed statement in Exodus 34, 6 and 7, in which the character of God is revealed, his mercy and his willingness to forgive our confession. When he prayed, Moses knew how God was, and I'm going to tell you how he knew that. In chapter 33 of Exodus, I want to say maybe around the 18th verse, I'm not sure. Moses asked God to show him his glory. And we all know that no man has ever seen God and live. So God, you know the story, God hid him in the cliffs of the rock. And he saw God as he was passing by. But did you notice anything about when God showed his glory? Anyone notice anything about that particular scripture when he showed his glory? He showed his back. But what is the key thing that he didn't show him that Moses already knew? Anyway. Say again. His face? No, if he would have seen his face, he would have died. But I'm just going to tell you, and this is what I learned. God showed him his character. He did not show him his power. He showed him his care. He showed him his forgiveness. He showed him his graciousness. He showed him his, forgiveness? He showed his gentleness. He showed the kindness of God. So Moses knew how to pray to God. Do we know how to pray to God? Do we know all those characters of God? That he's merciful, he's kind, he's forgiving. He's love. Moses seen the gentleness of God, so he appealed to that. Because God was getting ready to throw the gauntlet down on him. But Moses interceded for the children of Israel. He prayed for them. And God relented. But they did not go unpunished. They lost the opportunity to get into the promised land. They stayed in the wilderness 40 years. And God told them, your carcass will fall in the wilderness. This generation will not go. Are we going to lose that opportunity to get to the promised land as well? Because of our disobedience? Because of our unforgiveness? I hope not. Just remember, he's merciful, he's kind, but don't miss out on your opportunity to go to heaven. Salvation through Jesus Christ. Okay, moving right along. Numbers, Nesek. Hebrew word for forgive, forgiveness, or forgive. Numbers 14 and 18. If you dare, say amen. The Lord in his long suffering. That is a character of God. He's long-suffering. And of great mercy, another character, forgiving iniquities and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty. Same thing as verse Exodus 34 and 7. Visiting the iniquities upon the father, upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation. Now, earlier I said, how can God punish someone that he has forgiven? Number one, because he's not going to let you get away with it. He loves you. He loves you. And this particular scripture took me to 2 Kings 9:25, chapter 9, 25, and chapter 10, 11 and 17. But you have to read the whole thing to understand what God was doing. And I'm just going to enlighten you on some things about these particular scriptures. This particular scripture is by Ahaz and Jezebel. These particular scriptures about Ahaz, the king, and Jezebel. Jezebel had some kind of hold on her husband, the king. She was running everything when the man was supposed to be running the house. That's the way it is today. I'm going to just tell you that right now. If you want peace in your house, make the wife happy. But anyway, Jezebel had killed up all the prophets of Israel. Not all of them. There was still some living. This was the time of Elijah and everything. She had killed off all the prophets and everything. And also, and they was worshiping idols, Baal. And you know God hate disobedient children that worship idols. He's a living God. He's not a God of chairs, statues, clay or anything. He made all of that. He created all of it. So why are you worshiping a statue or a cross around your neck, talking about thank you, Lord, or whatever? You know, why are you doing that? You're not giving reverence to God. You're not worshiping him. You're worshiping the material things that you have, which God gave you. He said, worship me, the living God. He's living. He knows all things. But anyway, moving right along. In this particular scripture, Ahaz had, how can I say this? Ahaz wanted the vineyard of Naboth. And his wife asked him one day, "Why are you so depressed?" I'm paraphrasing. "Why are you so depressed?" And he told her, like a little kid, covetous somebody else's property. And where I'm going with this, I'm trying to show you that God does not let the guilty go. So what did they do? They lied against Naboth in his vineyard, saying that, you know, he was crooked or whatever. And they killed him over a vineyard. They killed him over a vineyard because the king wanted his vineyard, when he could have had any vineyard in the country. The only thing he had to do is ask the Lord. But anyway, moving right along. So they killed him. God made a promise. He made a promise that he would not, and I'm paraphrasing, he would not let that go unpunished. And this is where I got from the third and the fourth generation from. That he will not, it says right here, will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children's children until the third and fourth generation. This is what happened. You in these particular verses, if you read the whole thing, Jehu became king of Israel. Matter of fact, he was anointed by one of the prophets. And the prophet told him, "Say, I want you to go down and anoint Jehu, and I want you to leave quickly." What the quickly was about, I don't know, but he left. Then Jehu became king, and he avenged the house of Naboth for God. God cleansed the whole house. You know the story. So whatever you do, if it's wicked, and I realize that it was wickedness too, it is wickedness that God hates. So he will avenge. It's not up to you to avenge. Let God handle the matter. Now we're going to move on to the New Testament. The word forgiving. We're going to go back to our main verse, main scripture, Colossians, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So also do ye. And earlier I told you about Christ's law of forgiving, of forgiveness, as taught in the Gospels. Christ's law for forgiveness as taught in the Gospel. Luke chapter 11, verse 25. We're going to call this Christ's law of forgiveness as taught in the Gospel. Luke 11, 25. I'm sorry. Excuse me, I'm sorry. That's Mark 11:25. Mark 11:25. I'm looking right at the paper. I'm saying Luke. We're going to go through each one of these. The next one will be Matthew 6 and 14, Matthew 18:23 and 35. I will go over them again. And then we'll finalized everything with Ephesians 4:32. Mark 11:25. And it reads as follows. And whenever you stand praying, listen to that now. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. That's almost like a golden rule, isn't it? It's almost like a golden rule. And this is Jesus speaking as well. So we are supposed to forgive. We are supposed to forgive. Forgive regardless. People trespass if they have trespassed against you. And I'm going to elaborate on it just a little bit more. Let's take Peter, for instance. You remember when Peter came to Jesus and he said, Lord, how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? What did Jesus say? Seven? No, not seven times. 70 times seven. That means eternity. Regardless. Forgive him. There's no time frame. There's no timeline. There's nothing that can stop you from forgiving. 70 times seven. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot to put up with. If it was me, if I seen him coming, I would move the other way. I have to go the other way. I would move out the way. But at the same time, I still must have a loving heart to forgive him as well. And only thing God is trying to tell us, we must be like Christ in us. We must be like Christ. Because you'll see at the end what Christ did for all of us. Regardless of what they did to him, you'll see what Christ did to him. Matthew 6:14 and 15. I'm pretty sure y'all all know this one, right? Everyone know this one? We all learned this in school. Our Father. All right. Okay. Yes, I'm worshiping the Father. It states, 14, it reads as follows. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Period. 15, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus is preaching the law of forgiveness throughout the gospel. And if you really do a search on forgiveness in the Bible, it is all over the place because there are so many people sinning. There are so many bulls being sacrificed back in the old days. Today, can you afford a bull? We can barely afford a steak. A goat. It's so high. Seems like, you know, if we had to sacrifice a bull... Man, we have a barbecue, and I tell you what, it'll probably cost about $300 a month or whatever. Can't afford that. No. But God knew that we took no pleasure in the sacrifice. We took no pleasure in it. It was good to kill a bull. Okay, I can sin, I can kill a bull. Go to the priest, okay. I'll be restored with God and stuff like that. He knew we took no pleasure in it. So he sent his only begotten son. Okay, Matthew, verse 18 and 23 and 35. Now, this is a good one. I'm going to have to paraphrase on this one. I love this one. This one is excellent. Matthew chapter 18, verse. Matter of fact, let's start up at that 21st verse. So we can get the gist of it. Which I got ahead of myself. Are you there? Okay. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Up to 7 times 7? Okay, hold on. And then the Lord said, okay. Jesus said unto him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. And then he goes on and he tells a story. That's one thing I like about Jesus. He has a story for everything throughout your life. Whatever you're going through in life, he has a story for it. Look what he says right here. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven, I mean, he just breaks out and says, okay, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. We know who that certain king is, right? That's God. Who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. Verse 24, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. About $1 million, right? Something like that. About $1 million. Don't quote me on it. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded. This is God, okay? God is commanding, okay? That he be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, that payment would be made. This is a beautiful story. A loving father. He said, Master, have patience with me. Have patience with me. The servant is begging on his knees. I'm just using my imagination. He's on his knees. Master, have patience with me. I'll get you the money. Give me a couple of days, and I'll get you the money. Isn't that the way we do, God? Lord, I'll repent in a couple of days if you just give me time. He might say, you fool. Your life is required of you right now. But anyway, let me go on and read the story. These are some beautiful stories. Then the master of the servant was moved by compassion. That's God's character. That is one of God's characters. He is compassionate, loving, kindness. He released him and forgave him all his debt, all his sins. He forgave all of all our sins. We're forgiven. But that servant went out and found one of his servants who owed him 100 denarii. About $1,000, something like that, maybe. He went out and found another servant. But look at this. Jesus is telling us this. You know what? He can tell some stories. Oof. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Then look at what happened. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. Look at that. The king gave him mercy. But this servant went out and found one of his servants, and he decided that he wanted his money, and when he couldn't pay, he threw him in jail. But the servant asked him for the same forgiveness. So what do you think? What do you think happened? Let's read on. Let's read on. Let's read on. It's a beautiful story. You need to read it, because this is what, even though it's hypothetical, this is what God is like. And he would not. But went and threw him in prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grievous and came and told their master all that had been done. This is what the master said after he had called him. He said to him, "You wicked." God hate wickedness. Wicked, deceitful, ungrateful. But he said wicked. I'm just throwing that in there. And that's the key word, wicked. God does not like wickedness. You can get by with other things, but you cannot get by with wickedness. Then his master, after he had called him, said unto him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you begged me. Should you not have also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry. God is slow to anger. God is slow to anger. Yes, he is. He is slow to anger. But he was angry on this one. "And delivered him into the torturer until he should pay all his debt." He was delivered into hell. He was delivered into hell until he paid all his debt. I'm sorry. He was delivered into hell until he should pay all that was due to him. So, my heavenly Father also will do you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And brother means believers, my brothers and sisters. Your brother, your fellow believer. Your fellow believer. That's your brother. But the Bible also says that we're supposed to forgive others as well. So don't just hang your hat on the believers. We're supposed to pray for others as well, regardless of what you think or how you feel. We're supposed to pray for others because the Bible says that. But the beautiful thing about this story is, even though the commentary says hypothetical, it could be hypothetical or if this, if that, or whatever. Regardless, this is the gospel being revealed to us and the way we will be treated if we don't treat our fellow servant the same way, with compassion, love, gentleness, kindness, mercy, grace. God has given us grace, so we should give them mercy as well. Forgive them. And if they don't pay you back, if they don't pay their debt back, don't worry about it. Leave it alone. Let it go. Don't run up behind them or anything like that. Don't try to take them to court or whatever, unless you feel strongly about it. But let it go. And in closing, we're going to close with Ephesians chapter 4, 32. And in closing, Ephesians chapter 4 and 32. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 4 and 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Now, that word in Ephesians chapter 32 and Colossians, forgiving, It is called charisma. Charisma. I will spell it. C-H-A-R-I-Z-O-M-A-I. It comes from the Greek number. It is a verb. It is a Greek word. Strong's 45 and 83. Strong's 45 and 83. And it means to give grace, to forgive, counsel, a debt, to grant, to hand over into custody, forgive, deliver, forgiving, gave, frankly forgive, freely given, granted. And if you want to look it up, like I said, it's in the Strong's Greek vocabulary of 5483. My brothers and sisters, my closing is this. In Luke chapter 23 and 34, as Jesus is hanging on the cross and he is about to leave this world, his spirit is about to leave, one of the things that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the greatest gift that he gave the children of Israel. And if the children of Israel get their act together, I think we'll be in a better world. And I would like to, before I close further, I'd like to give credit to these particular articles, Grace Notes, Anchor Yale Bible Dictionary, and Baker Encyclopedia of Bible, so they won't say I'm cheating. So they get all the credit. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we leave here tonight, O Heavenly Father, I pray thee, O Heavenly Father, that a word has been said, O Heavenly Father, that where someone could use it to help maybe one of us let those things go that is not healthy for us, dear Lord, that we may have a human relationship with our fellow Christian brothers and sisters and others, O Heavenly Father. Not only you, Heavenly Father, that we can open up that gate again, O Heavenly Father, to have a loving relationship with you. Because if we're not able to forgive, dear Lord, you're not going to forgive us. So, Father, we pray and we confess our sins to you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name, Jesus. Amen.